In a world where humans and monsters coexist, Violet's life has hit rock bottom. Despite her master's degree in literature, she's drowning in $87,000 of student debt, living in a cramped studio apartment with flickering lights and empty cupboards. When she discovers a job posting for Morning Glory Milking Farm offering $75,000 annually with benefits, it seems like salvation. Until she learns what milking actually entails. The pristine facility nestled in rolling hills specializes in collecting minotaur semen for pharmaceutical companies developing erectile dysfunction medications. Sitting before her computer screen, pausing and replaying the training video in horrified fascination, Violet faces an impossible choice: dignity or survival. With eviction notices piling up and her bank account dwindling to single digits, she makes the only decision she can: temporary employment in a world she never imagined entering. "This is no different from drawing blood," Violet's instructor insists during her first day. The specialized equipment, an inclined bench with suction nozzles, and rigorous sterilization protocols emphasize the clinical nature of her work. Yet when her first client arrives, a towering minotaur preparing for the procedure, the cognitive dissonance becomes overwhelming. How can something so intimate be treated as merely medical? Over weeks, Violet adapts surprisingly well, memorizing protocols and learning the unwritten taxonomy of clients. Clock watchers who treat the process as a quick transaction, pop-and-goes who finish almost immediately, and good little cows who embrace the fantasy. Her first solo collection with an intimidating red-haired clock watcher becomes a pivotal moment. Despite her nervousness, she establishes a rhythm that elicits unexpected responses from the typically stoic client. Later, alone in her apartment, Violet finds herself aroused by the memory, confused by her attraction to this anonymous minotaur. The perfectly folded $100 tip she received further complicates her feelings. Is she being rewarded for efficiency, or is something more personal developing? The boundaries between professional and intimate begin to blur in ways she never anticipated. 3 weeks into her new routine, Violet receives a special request. A client has specifically asked for her services. Despite equipment malfunctions and delays, she finally meets him, the same red-haired clock watcher from her first day. But something has changed. He initiates conversation, asks personal questions, breaking the professional distance typically maintained. Violet notices he's already aroused before she even touches him, and his intense response to her ministrations ends with a deep moo that sends shivers through her body. Their unexpected reunion continues outside the farm when she encounters him at the Black Sheep Beanery coffee shop. Seeing him in everyday clothes rather than a clinical setting throws Violet completely off balance. He pays for her coffee and attempts conversation, colliding her carefully separated worlds of professional necessity and personal life. The Minotaur finally has a name, Rourke, and with this revelation, he transforms from anonymous client to potential partner. During their next farm session, Violet notices the ring in his nose and asks about it. His admission that he's been divorced for 2 years but kept the ring out of fear of painful removal adds unexpected vulnerability to his imposing presence. When he suggests they might visit the ice rink or vampire restaurant together, he's offering more than casual outings. He's proposing a bridge between their clinical relationship and something far more personal. Frustrated by Rourke's restraint after several dates, Violet takes initiative by attending dinner without underwear, a declaration of her desire for genuine connection. When Rourke finally touches her beneath the table while maintaining casual conversation, the power dynamic shifts. His demand that she verbalize her needs forces Violet into vulnerability, requiring explicit admission rather than professional pretense. At her apartment, Violet attempts to reciprocate, but Rourke interrupts. Despite their physical familiarity at the farm, he insists on a different approach to their personal intimacy, explaining she needs to be prepared, showing both concern for her comfort and a desire to distinguish their personal relationship from professional interactions. When they finally consummate their relationship at Rourke's home, mythological references enrich the scene. Rourke compares their situation to tributes given to the Minotaur to appease his insatiable lust, embracing the monstrous aspects of his identity. His gentle concern afterward and suggestion of ice cream creates a tender contrast to their passion. Lying in his arms, Violet realizes she might be half in love with him, a thought both thrilling and terrifying. Waking beside Rourke on a sunny morning, Violet marvels at how her priorities have shifted. Once driven by academic responsibilities, she now appreciates lazy mornings with her partner after nights of passion followed by enormous desserts. Their explorations of Cambric Creek reveal the depth of their cultural integration. Visiting green-bodied florists, occultist tea rooms where Rourke's horns seem comically out of place, and salons specializing in puppy cuts for werewolf children. Violet notices the contrast between how welcome she feels in Cambric Creek, despite being human, versus the strange looks they receive in human areas for their interspecies relationship. Her growing dread of Sundays when she must return to her empty apartment demonstrates her emotional investment not just in Rourke, but in the entire community he represents. Through her new friendship with Luriel, a neighbor who becomes her enthusiastic advocate, Violet discovers the perfect job opportunity at the Slade Foundation, researching historic building fabrics and paint colors. This position represents the ideal blend of her academic background and her new life, allowing her to maintain some shifts at the farm while building a career aligned with her education. Her conversations with Luriel about interspecies relationships reveal challenges still ahead, from cultural conflicts to painful comments from strangers. These discussions demonstrate Violet's growing awareness of the complexities of her choice, moving beyond infatuation to realistic consideration of their future together. On her last day at Morning Glory Farm, Violet reflects on her journey from horrified novice to confident professional. When she confirms to Rourke that she got the job at the Slade Foundation, his suggestion that she not unpack everything in her new apartment hints at their potential future living together. What began as an embarrassing necessity became the catalyst for finding love, community, and professional fulfillment. Her realization that she loves Rourke completely, that their relationship is worth fighting for despite their differences, offers a powerful conclusion to her journey. The story's epilogue, showing Rourke's first visit to Morning Glory as a client, provides a clever reversal. His initial offense at the farm theme and health screening requirements, followed by excitement at the prospect of manual massage, reveals the complex emotions surrounding the farm services from the client perspective. In Violet and Rourke's journey from clinical transaction to genuine connection, we find a surprisingly relatable story about overcoming prejudices, navigating boundaries, and finding home in unexpected places. Their love demonstrates how connections form in the most unlikely circumstances when we're brave enough to cross thresholds, both physical and emotional, into unfamiliar territory. Perhaps the most meaningful relationships aren't those that develop according to plan, but those that surprise us by emerging from places we never thought to look.